Reggaeton is a hugely popular musical genre. I mean, surely you've danced to this song.
Despacito. Quiero respirar tu cuello despacito.
That is the global hit Despacito, with more than 7 billion views on YouTube. And you might also recognize Chantaje with Shakira, too.
Yo soy masoquista.
Con mi cuerpo egoísta.
Puro, puro chantaje. Puro, puro chantaje.
But few people actually know where reggaeton really came from. Yeah, Puerto Rico is part of the story, but there's a lot more to it.
We are going to spend time in Puerto Rico, New York, Colombia. But to tell the story right, we have to start in Panama.
That is Evie Queen, host of a new podcast called Loud, which explores the origins of reggaeton. Loud promises to bring us, quote, an incredible story about sex, race, drugs, censorship, and of course, Pareo. We are joined now by three of the people responsible for fulfilling that promise, executive producers Marlon Bishop and Julio A. Pabon, and producer Catalina Gata Eccleston. Welcome to all three of you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Catalina, or should I call you Gata?
Gata's cool.
Gata. So Loud reveals some of the real roots of reggaeton. Dancehall, there's reggae, there's hip hop. Can you talk about how all these different styles end up fusing together to become reggaeton?
It all starts in Jamaica, right?
One good thing about music, when it hits you,
Bob Marley, if you know the story of reggae, that music was so powerful, it really united two opposite sides in political schemes in Jamaica. A lot of immigrants went over to Panama to work on the canal, and they brought their culture, they brought their music, right? Their food, everything.
There was an immigration of Jamaicans in particular, but English-speaking Caribbeans to come and work the Panama Canal. Once the Americans left the Panama Canal zone and gave it back to the Panamanians, communities were now brought together, and therefore sounds were brought together.
It went from a tool of resistance to really a tool of movement. People decided after a while, you know what, we want to dance. Dance is resistance as well. That's what perreo is, right? It's not just twerk music.
I love that. And at that point, it wasn't even called reggaeton yet, right?
You're correct. It wasn't called reggaeton. It went from reggae to reggae in Spanish to dancehall in Spanish to reggaeton. And really, in Panama, the primary reggaeton artist was this artist called El General, the General.
El General is like the blueprint.
He was crazy on the stage. He could have said something, I'm the Black Elvis Presley, and they was just screaming.
He's considered the father of reggaeton.
He said, I'm going to America. I said to him, you know what? You better perform and do it.
You know, he's the one that took it to the next level. He blew up.
He was called the General because of his ability to improvise on the spot. But more so, his thing was getting people to move. And that's what reggaeton is. It's the music that keeps people dancing.
And Marlon, then where does this genre go next after Panama?
So El General himself was a Panamanian immigrant to Brooklyn who came when he was young in the mid-80s. And that's kind of the next phase for this music is you had a lot of Panamanians of West Indian descent moving to Brooklyn in sharing neighborhoods with Jamaicans and other people from the English-speaking Caribbean. One of the people from that community who we interviewed in the podcast was called La Atrevida, or the Rude Girl.
I'm Xenia Nikes, go by the name La Atrevida.
La Atrevida means the rude girl. We never met, but she was the first woman to do dancehall in Espanol. Es una pionera de verdad. And she got the name rude girl for a reason.
The dancing, the lyrics that I'm using, I'm like, oh my God, I was wrong.
She put it all out there, and she was not ashamed of it.
Totally. And, you know, she was a young Panamanian woman who migrated to Brooklyn, to central Brooklyn, to the West Indian neighborhoods, and they would have parties in auto shops and in basements, just jam sessions where they would, you know, be doing dance hall in English and in Spanish. And it's in that environment where, in a way, that's another one of the birthplaces of reggaeton is these basements in Brooklyn, you know, because it's where Jamaican producers connected with artists like La Atrevida and began to record them. And those recordings of dancehall in Spanish became hugely popular in New York at first and then all over Latin America.
Duro, mamita, yo sé que tú no te me va a quitar. Duro,
I want to go to you because there's been this long-held assumption out there that reggaeton started in Puerto Rico, which is wrong. But why do so many people think the genre started there?
Because that's, in a sense, where it sort of blew up. It's where it morphed into the musical movement that it is today in many regards. People going from Puerto Rico to New York, and New York being the hub of Panamanians that had come from Panama. And so Puerto Ricans, by nature of their relationship with the United States and the ability to go back and forth, really were able to spread that sound and make it a musical movement. And so the misconception is that because it blew up in Puerto Rico, it originated in Puerto Rico.
I also want to talk about the choice of the host in this podcast, Evie Queen, who's like, you know, like a legend in reggaeton. And I have to say, she's amazing.
Okay, picture this. It's 1995, and I'm about to have the most important audition of my life. An audition to rap with the hottest underground crew in San Juan. It was the moment that I was going to decide if I was going to make it in the music or go back to my hometown as a nobody.
Can you tell us, how did you land on Evie Queen specifically to drive these stories you wanted to tell?
You know, Evie Queen is the biggest female artist in the genre, but also the most influential. She was going to give validity to the podcast in a way that nobody else could, because she lived through so many of these moments and helped shape so many of these watershed moments that you will hear about in the podcast. And so for us, this was a dream fulfilled.
Well, you mentioned the crossover aspect of this genre. I mean, Loud is a bilingual podcast, and I was wondering, was that a natural development? I mean, having Evie Queen as the host, I'm sure like code switching just kind of happened, right?
It was more intentional. I think what was most important was that we were going to make it accessible. Even if you're just tangentially related or a fan of the genre, that you were going to be able to understand its roots and where it was going to come from.
The idea is that, you know, there's so many people in this country who are bilingual and enjoy hearing media and living their daily lives in both languages. And there's people who may not catch everything, but they'll catch enough to follow it along. And in this story, it just wouldn't make sense. It's a inherently a Spanglish story from the beginning. It just was the natural way to produce this podcast.
Julio A. Pabon, Marlon Bishop, and Catalina Gata Eccleston are part of the creative team behind the new podcast, Loud, from Futuro Studios and Spotify Studios. Thank you all so much for joining us. This was so much fun.
Thank you, Elsa.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Elsa.